you ever figure out that when you're having fun, you never have enough time? You know, all of a sudden, oh my God, is it 4 o'clock in the morning? Jeepers creepers, I've got to be at work in like 2 hours. Okay, subliminal agreements. What exactly is a subliminal agreement? Meaning it influences you in some way and your subconscious just goes, yeah, okay, I'll do that, even though you're not really consciously aware that you're making a decision to do something, like bow down to Satan.
Yep, right, that's basically it. So it's an agreement that you make that happens beneath your conscious threshold. Now, one example of it is when you're watching a television show, and on the introduction to that show, you'll notice that there's a lot of fast-paced imagery moving faster than your eye and brain can really process it. And so when that occurs, when you can't really consciously process it, it all pipes straight into your subconscious to be hopefully processed at some point in the future. The problem is that embedded in there are going to be various symbols, either overt or covertly woven into whatever the artwork is or whatever the imagery is. And in that symbol are going to be what you call sigils. And this is a series of symbols combined into a single icon or a single symbol or a single logo, if you will. And that embedded message essentially says that if you watch this introduction, then you are agreeing to support the version of reality that we are about to show you in this TV show, as one example. So then that agreement comes into your subconscious. You watch that little intro without in your mind saying, I do not agree. I will not support your reality. I'm simply watching this show because it's kind of funny or whatever. If you,
the Big Bang Theory comes to mind when they do the little song and the thing. One of the lines in the song is, we built the pyramids, and then it flashes very quickly a symbol of the all-seeing eye atop a pyramid that was on the back of the $1 bill.
There you go. Yeah, in fact, I like that show, but I will not watch that introduction thing because I know exactly what it's doing, and I'm not going to allow that into my subconscious mind and then have to clear it out. So I just cut it out altogether and say, no, I will not support that.
Here's the problem. Can you subvert those things that are supposed to be subliminal if you know that they're there? They only really affect your subconscious if you don't know that they're there, and then they are able to work their magic on you. But if you know that they're there and you're actually looking for them, you get to spot them and go, ha-ha, there you are.
Right. Now, let's take that Big Bang Theory as an example. You could do that if you paused every single slide and analyzed each slide that flashes on there. But even if you know what's coming and you know that that's going to be embedded in it, if you still watch it, if all those slides are coming at such a rapid pace that they're going to slip into your subconscious because you didn't have the time to analyze each one of them.
So it takes just that much. Ergo, almost every single frame of a movie reel, therefore, is an elaborate amount of pictures that your brain can't fully process and actually does it in the subconscious anyway. Because when you're watching television, your brain switches from alpha waves, which are the logical, the analytical, the mathematical waves, to the beta waves, which are the suggestible. Or if I got them the wrong way around?
Yeah, switch that around. But
anyway, strike that, reverse it, as Willy Wonka would say. And so therefore, it doesn't even matter if you're aware of what subliminal messages are on there, because your analytical brain ain't possibly switched on.
That's a really important part of it. Yeah, the flicker rate on TVs, right, that they flicker at a rate to put you into that alpha state so that you're calm, passive, receptive, and just absorbing whatever programming is coming into you, whatever agreements that they're getting you to agree to. And sometimes it's something as simple as the way the situation is framed. Like in cop shows or CSI type shows, when they'll ask someone, do you have a license for that gun? And they go, oh, yes, I have a license, you know. Well, guess what, people? You don't, in most states in the United States, you don't need a license to own a firearm. You simply buy one and you have it. So it's little things like that, that where they frame reality in such of a way that if you're not in your proper analytical mind and you're not being super vigilant about what you're observing, if you're just passively taking it in, you're agreeing to uphold that vision of reality. And now the same thing occurs in channeled messages. And what they do is they start off with sweetness and light. They tell you some things that you already knew so that you're nodding your head in agreement. And then they get into whatever programming that they want you to have. So they'll tell you essentially be calm, never be angry, never resist. This whole evil tyranny will be overthrown by us. We are going to come in and save you from the evil, right? That's always a message in there. Saviorship. We are here to save you.
And they always do it in this really soft tone of voice, you know? Right. It reminds me of some kind of a rapist or a pedophile.
Okay. Yeah, they're always coming in with the sugary sweetness. And so while it is good to be calm, it is good to have calm as your baseline so that you can be balanced. The idea that you should never be angry is a fallacy, because anger is the natural and appropriate response to being manipulated, lied to, or violated in some way. And if you can't get angry, if you're incapable of anger, then guess what? You're a perfect slave.
Oh, imagine that. Imagine a workforce that you could boss around, be mean to all day long, and never, ever, ever have to worry about them rising up and being angry with you.
Yeah. And now, of course, the form of slavery that they're going to shift us to is going to be much more of the velvet glove, right? Right now, it's the iron fist. And they want to transition us to the velvet glove so that we feel like we're free. So they'll be very sweet and gentle on the exterior, as long as you're a good little slave. But if you go against it, well, then, you know, the iron fist will come back out. But they want everyone to be really passive, really calm all the time. Oh, stay calm. Don't get angry. Don't be mad, right? Talk in soft tones. And I would urge everyone to get in touch with the anger that you have, because if you haven't been expressing anger, that means you have probably quite a bit of it suppressed somewhere in your subconscious. And so part of your self-clearing process will be to get that anger out somehow in a constructive way, a way that doesn't spill out onto your family and friends, unless it's your family and friends who are violating your sacred space and your energy, and in which case you probably need to get a little bit angry with them to tell them to back off. But in general, you need to process that subconscious anger so that you can be freed from that baggage, and then clear enough that in the present moment, if a situation that is coming at you where a person is attempting to violate you in any way or deceive you, steal from you, etc., that you can have the appropriate anger to shout very loudly, no, hell no, this is not kosher, I'm not going to do this.
Can we think about a situation that everybody's been in where you've got somebody who you know is using you, you know is lying to you, yet they keep promising you more of what you want if you just keep going along with it? Some of us are stuck in this situation right now. And have you noticed that all these little glinting promises never eventuate and are replaced instead with more promises? I think that the people who actually deliver, those who do what they say they are going to do, are the only people you can really trust. Anybody else is even mildly flaky. You can't put an ounce of confidence in them. And unfortunately, those people for which you should never have confidence in, ironically, become the heads of all the major corporations and banks and governments and so on and so forth. they become your teachers, they become your police officers, they become your doctors, your lawyers, they become your musicians, your filmmakers, your journalists, your radio hosts. They get themselves into these positions of power and authority so that they can more easily permeate their scumbaggery.
Yeah, but as far as radio host hosts go, we exclude you from that, Vinny.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's that same idea that people that don't have a moral compass that will do anything for power tend to get into positions of power because they're willing to do anything. Somebody who does have a moral compass, who doesn't want to hurt other people, who won't do something for their own gain if it is going to hurt someone else, those people are the people that should be in positions, let's say, of respect. Now, I actually am an advocate of non-authority, non-authoritarianism, non-hierarchical structures. I feel very strongly that humanity needs to overcome the slave mentality that has been imprinted on them, that everyone needs to be told by someone what to do. And instead, we need to just adhere to this simple one law: don't hurt anyone else, and live your life the best that you can. And if we all do that, we can all be the governor of ourselves. Because no one has the right to govern another human being. No one has the right to tell another being how they should live or to take their livelihood from them in the form of taxes. We have to transcend all of those hierarchical structures, including the government, and govern ourselves.
I don't want to be somebody's leader. You know what I'm saying when I say that? Like, mm-hmm. I have a natural talent for leadership. You wouldn't believe the amount of protests that, you know, with my megaphone and my chanting I've led and it made everybody enjoy themselves. But I don't actually want to be able to ever in my life be in a position where I can tell somebody what to do and be able to force them to do it, whether or not they want to.
Right. Absolutely. And that's where everyone needs to be, right? We need to get out of this idea that someone should tell us what to do and that we should tell other people what to do. Nobody should be telling anyone what to do. If somebody comes to me for advice or guidance, I will tune into them and the situation and tune into their higher self and look at the situation from the biggest perspective possible and tell them what I see is probably the best course of action for them. But if they don't want to do that, that's okay. Right? I'm not here to force anyone to do anything. My role is to help people. My role is to facilitate people in getting clear, right? So that's why I do sessions. That's why I put out the self-clearing system. The entirety of that first level is free at ascensionhelp.com. And then there's a level 2 on top of that as well that's very inexpensive. And so I keep everything inexpensive because my ideal is to have a world filled with clear human beings who are filled with the self-authority and the knowledge that they are connected to source, the awareness of that connection, and that they're living from that space. And when you live from that space, you can't force someone to do something. You can't harm anyone else. The idea of harming someone else is absurd. It's insane when you're that connected. But if you're disconnected from that, well, then that's where hierarchy and authority and enslavement, all of that comes about.
Yeah. And I see one subliminal coming through in a lot of films, this line of order out of chaos. And if you watch the new version of Red Dawn, it says something along the lines of, when we were over in Iraq, we were the good guys. We were there to restore order. But now the enemy's on our turf, so it's our job to create chaos. And isn't that ironic how it was actually the United States who went over to Iraq to create some freaking chaos? And then ironically, the invader of the United States was claiming that they wanted to restore order. It's this entire backwards system that is getting through to people, and they don't realize that there is this thing that you've called, what is it, divine chaos versus destructive chaos, Cameron.
Yeah, and so destructive chaos, that's taking the form of the false dialectic. It's taking the form on Earth of imperialistic wars and oppression of people. It takes the form of financial chaos, financial control, energetic enslavement. Destructive chaos is how the rulers have ruled for so long, and it's occurring in the 3D realm. It's occurring in the higher densities as well. But when you strip away all of the control, all of the hierarchical structures, you get a person who is free, and you get what I call divine chaos, where you have...
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Anarchy doesn't mean no rules. It means no rulers, by the way.